We're back on the air. This is Radio Entrepreneurs. My name is Jeffrey Davis, and you've heard me say this a lot. Thank you to everyone in 2016 for all your support of the show and joining our networks. You know, we've had somebody and an organization on our show, I think, for almost 4 years now. I think it was our highest rated show for 2016, according to my producer. So, of course, I'm talking about Toby Stapleton and the Center for Innovation and Entrepreneurship at UMass Dartmouth, correct?
That's correct. It's great to be back on the show.
Thank you.
And there's lots to talk about when we talk about entrepreneurship on the South Coast. We've got the Center for Innovation and Entrepreneurship and the Southern New England Entrepreneurs Forum, both organizations doing a lot to promote entrepreneurship in and around southeastern Massachusetts. So I'm excited to be here.
Oh, great. Well, you know, I had some discussions in Florida last week about entrepreneurship in Massachusetts, and they look in amazement at this state from other states. You want to tell us what's been going on in your part of the world?
Yeah, sure. That sounds like a tough conversation, Jeffrey, to have a conversation about entrepreneurship in Florida. The weather, when we look at Massachusetts, you know, that there's no doubt that we are a leader in innovation. Just yesterday, I was at a meeting with one of the local legislators, the Senate president and the governor, and one of the things that came up was Massachusetts' role in the innovation economy in the United States, not just talking about what was happening in New England. And, you know, if you look at, you know, whether it's venture capital activity, startup activity, or the research institutions that are in Boston, there is a lot going on in the state. And what we're trying to do is to really bring a lot of the things that are happening in and around Boston, Cambridge, Kendall Square, down to the South Coast so that we can experience a lot of that stuff going around entrepreneurship in our region. And over the last few years, as you know, we founded an organization called the Southern New England Entrepreneurs Forum, modeled after the MIT Venture Forum, the WPI Venture Forum. And each year we do 9 programs a year to encourage entrepreneurship. And this year, this spring really, we've got a number of great programs, everything from an introduction to angel investing, to marketing, to branding for entrepreneurs. And we're doing a couple signature events. One of those signature events is investor-ready boot camp, a full day to help companies get ready to position themselves for equity investment. And
I think that's a great idea. Because that's just something that people work at from no experience naivete.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
And it's worth $5 million. What have you done? Nothing.
That's right. And we see it, the Center for Innovation and Entrepreneurship is the University of Massachusetts Dartmouth Business Incubator. We're a technology incubator. And today we've got 23 companies in the building who are working on everything from marine technology to biomedical to clean tech. And a lot of those companies are bootstrapped. They're self-funded through the traditional 3Fs, the friends, family, and fools that have gotten them to the point of building out a proof of concept or a prototype. But now what they need help in is identifying the next round of funding that is going to get them to organic growth. In other words, getting them to either start being able to sell a product or to get the prototype ready so that they can really start looking at institutional investors, VCs, and things like that. So what we're seeing is an increased interest from our companies in getting debt, equity, or grant funding. The problem is, the challenge is, as you identified, many of those companies have no idea what the three of those mean and what the benefits to one are versus another. And so part of what we've been doing is really educating companies as to what it means to bring an equity investor in, what it means to go out and collateralize, get a traditional collateralized loan, and then what the landscape looks like for grants, which is very limited. You know, we have lots of companies who are looking for grants to help their business, but that really is a very small, finite.
But all three of those categories are changing dramatically.
That's right. Yeah.
Investors are very cautious to take risk with their money. They're
That's
used
right.
to making money.
Right.
So they like certain guarantees, and
right.
people don't realize that.
That's right.
Banks, interest rates are going up, and they're looking for a more collateralized loan. So
That's
you
right.
have to have some revenue generation usually
right.
up front. So the whole landscape is always changing, and it's tough. Again, I find entrepreneurs to be very naive about this stage.
That's absolutely correct, and it's my experience, too, that the entrepreneurs are are naive. And when it comes to, you know, most entrepreneurs are enthusiastic, as we know, and they're in many cases they're bright. And the problem is that they are the smartest people that they know working on the on a technology or a product that they don't understand why people don't want to throw money at their business. And so what we need to do is to get them to understand what the landscape looks like for equity investment and debt financing and in the grant world, because all three of those, as you mentioned, have really significantly changed, you know, particularly following the 2007-2008 economic downturn. But even recently, with the, you know, the government pullback on certain funding, especially around the Department of Defense and energy and things like that, the grant environment has become much more competitive, and everybody's going after the same grants through the Department of Energy or what have you. And on the debt financing, you know, banks are getting much more conservative, and even the economic development entities in the cities and towns throughout the Commonwealth are really getting conservative about what they essentially what they lend to. And so the collateral requirements that you would need for a traditional bank loan are now starting to come into play for these economic development entities. And of course, equity investing has become much more, you know, the investors want essentially to get some kind of an insurance that they're going to get a payback. And so even though the entrepreneur may believe in the product and may believe in themselves, they really need to convince an investor that 4 or 5 years from now or sooner, that investor is going to be able to get a payback on their on that investment.
You know, investors are willing to wait 5 years. That's pretty patient. It must be healthcare products, because most technology investors,
that's right,
they want something much faster.
Yeah. So we're seeing three buckets, and
right,
on the technology side, they want investors want payback in 2 years. They want to see a product go through proof of concept, prototype, and into market very quickly, and they want to see some organic growth so that they can then package that up, sell it to a
professional management at a certain point.
That's right. Yeah. So professional management at a certain point, and but you're right, and so on the technology companies, especially around software, the investors who make investments in those companies want to see a much quicker payback. The second bucket is, the biopharmaceutical and the biomedical, where the payback, the proof of concept, the clinical trials that some of those companies need to go through, it is a years-long process. But the investors are used to investing in that vertical, and they're used to the fact that...
But that could change under this current administration.
That's right. Yeah, that absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, if I were to make some guesses, this would be an area that this president would try to shorten that cycle to get product to market, to build economy.
Right. Yeah, and I think that's correct. I think we're going to see some fundamental changes under this administration that we don't fully...
In pharmaceutical,
yeah.
And biotech and all that area.
And so currently, without those changes, that's a much longer lead time. And then the third bucket is marine technology. And the challenge is that, you know, the marine tech companies that we're working with today, traditional venture capital or traditional angel investors, unless they've been in that space before, are really reluctant to lend or to invest in those companies, because the organic growth, you know, once those companies go to market, you're not talking about thousands of units sold. You might be talking about a dozen units sold every year. Those units may cost $150,000 or $200,000 per unit. It might be an underwater autonomous vehicle, a submarine, or it might be an acoustical modem or something like that. So high value, low quantity. The traditional VC wants to see millions of units or thousands of units sold a year into a market that's much broader than marine technology, where you really only have, you know, the research market and the Department of Defense as well-trodden markets for those products. But lots of interesting things going.
Well, let me add another bucket, because I'll look at this current administration. And Massachusetts has usually been a great state with this, and defense.
Yep.
Defense businesses.
Right.
I would assume that there's going to be a lot more of those businesses emerging in the next 2 to 3 years.
Yep.
That doesn't mean they're going to last into the administration after that.
Right.
But right now, I think we're going to see money heading towards defense.
Yeah, and
technological defense.
Yeah, so I agree with that. And we stand to benefit from that because where our incubator is located is we are in between the Naval Undersea Warfare Center in Newport, Rhode Island on one end, and on the other end, the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institute. And, you know, the 23 companies that we have in the building today, the 7 marine tech companies, most of them have a significant, more than 60-70% of their business today is with the Navy or the Department of Defense. And
right.
So and I'm seeing the Navy particularly, or the Department of Defense in general, starting to make those investments in technological solutions to military problems. And so we're seeing it across the board.
Right, and I think, you know, the Israel model sort of plays its way out there, because if you look at Startup Nation,
right,
and you know, these are, you know, IDF is Israel Defense Force soldiers coming out of the army, a lot of them starting Defense Force businesses that then have healthcare applications and home applications.
Right.
So, you know, these defense applications do have implications to other industries down the road.
Yeah, and it's a great model.
Home.
Yeah, but it's interesting because, you know, I just heard of a company that had developed a software algorithm for detecting mines. Out in the ocean, it was a software platform for essentially modeling and detecting where mines are. And someone just told me that that company has now ported that into the healthcare field as a software model for detecting breast cancer. So if you talk about, there's something that isn't, intuitive, and it's not something, where you look at the military side of that business and say there's a healthcare application. But you're right. Lots of companies who get in originally to the military space start to realize, one, that's a limited market, even though they might be doing significant business there, and they need to look at others.
If I was building some kind of technological defense of a government property for technology or physical property, yes, I'd build it and I'd buy it and I'd sell it to the armed forces. But for every one building there is for the government, there's probably 3-4 million homes.
Right. Right.
And so the applications are immense, because people are going to be looking more at home security, I think, in the next 10 years than ever before.
Right.
And at different types of home security.
Yep. No, absolutely. You're seeing a lot of that porting over now we do a lot of work with undersea drones that they call them autonomous underwater vehicles. And but the aerial drone market, if you look at that and how that's grown and gone from really a defense-related industry down to a consumer industry where you've seen the growth in companies that have sold into the military now designing product for a more consumer use, and we're even seeing it in the marine industry where people are taking aerial drones and essentially waterproofing them so that they can survive out in a maritime environment. But now that the challenge is that how do you stop drones from making from both the military as well as how can you prevent a drone from getting access to a military or to a secured location that may or may not be related to the Department of Defense?
Well, it sounds like UMass Dartmouth on the cusp of a changing world.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely.
And I guess that's their business model, really.
It is, that we are the Center for Innovation Entrepreneurship has been around for about 15 years now, and we have been the UMass Dartmouth, the tip of the spear when it comes to that technology commercialization and helping companies to get their legs under them in terms of a technology standpoint. We have an incubator that is connected to laboratories, environmental chem, life sciences, and a prototype lab that helps companies build out the physical product. And last year, we received a Seaport Economic Council grant, which is going to allow us to upgrade our capabilities specifically around the maritime technology, maritime defense industries, and sensors, marine technology sensors. So there is a lot going on. And, in tying in the faculty on campus is one of the keys to that, the researchers that we have.
Integrated process.
Yeah, absolutely. And so we've helped the current crop of companies that are in the building today connect to researchers in a number of industries, including we have one project now with anti-fouling that one of the researchers on campus has been helping significantly on.
So I can't even imagine how complicated the world of Toby Stapleton is. I mean, and we could probably have you on every week. And, you know, that's always been an option with me because there's so much that you can talk about. We haven't even got into some of the companies you're working with. If somebody wants to find Toby Stapleton, how do they do that?
Yeah, I think the easiest way is now Facebook. I used to give out the web address, but I think Facebook, if you go to Facebook and type in UMass Dartmouth Center for Innovation and Entrepreneurship, you'll get a link to, obviously, our Facebook page will come up, and all of the events and programs that we have coming up will be there. We also put our SNEEF events, SNEEF, SNEEF.org programs are linked off of our Facebook as well as our website, which I'll give it anyway, which is umassd.edu/innovate is the Center for Innovation and Entrepreneurship's website.
You know, there are a lot of Toby Stapletons on Facebook, too. I didn't know if you know that.
None is good looking, I think.
You know, I just typed in your name on Facebook instead of the UMass Dartmouth, and this guy in a black T-shirt came up, this hunk. And I'm thinking, and I scrolled from him down to the next guy thinking, well, that's not our Toby because you're always wearing a suit. And then I went back and went, oh, he is that hunk.
Oh, Jason.
Really? You're much better looking in private life.
I don't know how to take that, Jeffrey, but yeah, no,
and your son's much better looking than you are.
That I agree with.
Yeah, he's a happy guy, big smile. Yep. Well, that's Toby Stapleton, and if there's some inappropriate comments, you know it's coming from me, Jeffrey Davis. I'm the host of the show. I love having Toby on. He's, again, I can't imagine, and I own 4 companies. I can't imagine what it's like to live in Toby's world and be juggling so many things. And I have a lot of respect for you, Toby. I think you know that. It might be hard for you to believe, but it's true. And we look forward to having you on again and on your relationship with Radio Entrepreneurs. We're going to take another break. We're going to be right back after these messages.